Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hey everyone, Kevin Cruz here. And if it's Friday, it's the wrap-up show. And we're going to review the value bombs from the previous 4 days in just a minute. I'm also going to answer a question about how to give effective recognition, how to show appreciation to your team members. But first, huge thank you for all the reviews. I'm on a quest to break 100. We are so close. And our review of the week comes from Ms. Fantastic, who wrote, "Inspired and informative. Great way to start the workday. Love the failure question. Hashtag overcome. Hashtag imagine." Ms. Fantastic, because I read your review on the air, I want to send you a bunch of LeadX swag. Just drop me an email at kevin@leadx.org and we'll send you something fun. So I am desperately in need of getting over 100 reviews. First, because my ego will feel better about it. And second, I also believe that iTunes really only starts suggesting shows to new listeners when you have at least 100 reviews. So if you haven't done it already, search for LeadX, L-E-A-D-X on iTunes, click the subscribe button, and listen to an episode and just leave a short, honest review. And we also have a challenger of the week. Lynn from Indiana, she sent me an email and she said she's been trying out our daily challenges, trying to get a little bit better every single day. And the one she's gotten the best results from so far, it's the MIT exercise, most important task, what is most significant on your task list. And that came from Dan Pink. And of course, it's one that, you know, I've been preaching for a long time as well. Figure out what your daily MIT is. Scribble it on the top of your calendar or on your whiteboard or on top of your to-do list if you're one of those to-do list people. And then work on that first thing in the morning without interruptions. Silence your phone, shut down that email, and just get a solid hour in on your MIT. So every day, we bring you a new challenge, try to get you a little bit better. And I really encourage you to practice them. They're always something simple, something actionable. And if you try it out, whether it works for you or doesn't, send me a note, again, kevin@leadx.org. And if we mention you on air, we will send you a t-shirt or book or maybe all of the above. So who were our guests this week? Again, a real solid lineup. We had Dr. Paul Marciano, psychologist from Yale, and he's the author of Carrots and Sticks Don't Work. And he's really the one that says, listen, you know, all that old school stuff about management and motivation doesn't work at all in this day and age. So he offers up, he says it starts with respect in the workplace, and he's turned that into an acronym. So I'm just going to run through the letters. So R is for recognition, then empowering employees. S is for supportive feedback, partnering, collaborative relationships, expectations that are clear, consideration, which means caring for your employees, and the T is for trust, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. That's how you're going to get massive employee engagement. And Dr. Paul challenged us in an area of to improve our active listening. He says, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, practice your active listening today, be an active listener today. But he specifically said that what he does himself, if he really wants to focus on the conversation, is he will say to himself, I'm curious about the next words coming out of this person's mouth. Be truly curious. Like, I wonder what they're going to say next. And that's going to just dial you in to the conversation. Then we had Leland Faust. Now, what a great name, by the way, Leland Faust. We don't normally have financial advisors on the show, but this was pure gold. Faust is literally one of the top money managers in the world. He was the founder of CSI Capital, and he's been ranked over and over again as a top 100 wealth manager. And his new book, I mean, he basically said, you know, Wall Street is horrible, and it's set up to fleece the small investor. So, you know, his advice was stop watching the financial news programs. I mean, those are garbage. They intentionally hype the highs and you know, doom and gloom on the lows, because they're really selling ratings. They're entertainment programs. You know, they don't make money by saying today's news really doesn't matter. You don't need to watch at all. He says that his basic advice is you want a diversified portfolio and you want to be a long-term investor. So you want to think about index funds, you know, a large basket of stock funds, a large basket of bonds. And he says that if you work with a financial advisor, make sure that she is a fiduciary. You know, that's a specific term that means the advisor represents you, works on your behalf. If they're not a fiduciary, they're basically could be a salesperson. They are incentivized by the company they work for. His 1% challenge is kind of amusing. You know, he said, don't do short sales, you know, don't do options, don't do hedge funds, don't do derivatives. And I think for most of us, we don't have to worry about that don't do list. This is despite some angel investing on the side. You know, 90% of my investments are just very spread out over the long term. We then had Dov Barron. Dov's like the Tony Robbins of Canada. I love Dov. He's the founder of Full Monty Leadership. He's an executive coach and he's the author of a book called Fiercely Loyal. If you listen to the interview with Dov, I mean, he has huge energy, huge compassion, huge authenticity. And we spent a lot of time, among other things, talking about millennials. And his approach is, you know, you should love them. You should respect them. They are great. And you need to realize that, yes, they will leave you and move on to bigger and better things, but that's okay. They have a lot to offer while they're working with you. And if you want to keep them, or if you want to keep them as long as possible, you have to keep challenging them. Millennials want to be constantly learning, growing, and being challenged. When we got to that 1% challenge, Dov scared the hell out of me. He's like, let's try an exercise. And I thought, uh-oh. So it started and he's saying we should have this conversation with someone at work or someone on our team. And he did it with me. He's like, you know, where do you live? And then we both said it. And then what's something you're scared of? And we both said it. And then the third one was the whammy. You know, now reveal something you wouldn't normally tell people, especially in a first meeting. And while the second thing was a fear you have, the third thing is all about a fear of revealing. You know, revealing something you're not proud of or you wouldn't normally want to share at work. And so if you want to hear mine, go back and listen to that episode with Dov Barron. And the takeaway, though, which is very important, is he said, it's not about overcoming that fear or acknowledging it and getting it out of the way. He says, you want to hold on to it. You want to keep that. You want to put it out there because that's how you stay courageous. You want to use that fear. I've heard someone else say, fear, unless you're actually in physical danger, fear is a compass. Fear points out the direction that you should be heading into. And then finally, last but not least, this was a fun one. Tom Riley. So Tom Riley is a director, a producer, a production manager out of Hollywood. He's worked on over 100 films. He's worked with Harrison Ford, Tom Hanks, Robert De Niro. I mean, all of them. His new book is The Hollywood MBA, A Crash Course in Management from a Life in the Film Business. And it is cool. You know, whatever your challenge at work is, if you're a film manager or film director, you know, you've assembled a team of hundreds of people. You're watching a budget. You've got big egos you're trying to deal with. You're working outside in harsh conditions or, you know, expensive special effects budgets. I mean, it's really high stakes stuff. So it was interesting to hear Tom Riley talk about that. And, you know, one of his big takeaways was what he calls the Oscar effect. He says, when people get together on a movie, I mean, people try so hard, partly because you're only as good as your last gig. You know, it is a gig economy, Hollywood. But he said, everybody is working for that Oscar or to get the awards, to get that acknowledgement, even if it's not, they know it's not going to be an Oscar-worthy film. And his challenge to us, I didn't quite get it at first. I mean, the 1%, he says, identify the hard corners in your day. And he was talking about, you know, if he's got a bazillion things to do to make a movie, but, you know, half the movie's set in Paris, the other half's in New York. Well, those are his hard corners. He knows he's making like two films, a Paris film and a New York film. And I couldn't quite get that, but it's as it's rested with me, I'm coming more to understand it. It's like with all the chaos and all the moving pieces in our day, in our schedule, in our to-do list, we can often pause and identify not just what's most important, but what has to get done, you know, right away. I was driving with my daughter, Natalie, and she was kind of freaking out, telling me, I've only got 9 days until I go off on that England trip for school, and I got to get this and get that and the other thing. And the prom, junior prom, is in 5 days, and got to get my dress back from the alterations and all this stuff. She went through all this stuff, and then she stumbled on that the place to pick up the dress closes at 2:30 in the afternoon. I think this was about noon or something that we were having this conversation. And so although there were 100 things stressing Natalie out and that I was supposed to be helping her with, all of a sudden our hard corner became get that dress before the place closes at 2:30. And that kind of shaped the afternoon. So identify your hard corners. All right. So last week, let's get to the question of the week, the management challenge. Last week we were talking about, you know, how can you get it all done with work and parenting and exercise, blah, blah, blah. And I addressed that. This week, we're going to talk about, I always get asked this question about the value of recognition. What's the right way to show appreciation for your team members at work? And this is huge because, you know, Dr. Marciano has it right. The R in his respect model is for recognition. And I talk about the big three for employee engagement. If you want to be a great leader, GRT, great, you want to focus on growth, recognition, and trust. So recognition doesn't have to cost a lot of time or money, and it is one of the major drivers of morale and engagement at work. But here's where most companies get it wrong. And a lot of managers will say, well, of course our people are recognized. You know, we've got the President's Club. Every month we put in names and someone wins the President's Award. And, you know, in summer we do that picnic. Everybody goes to the picnic. In December we do the holiday party and, you know, we show all kinds of recognition. Well, here's the problem with those company-wide initiatives. The problem with the CEO's Club or whatever your company calls it is that the winner's circle is too small. So if you're the one person or the five people that win that award or, you know, get to go to Hawaii on the sales team or whatever, you know, that's great if you're one of those people. But if you're not, that certainly isn't going to make you feel recognized. And in fact, it might demotivate you. I might be thinking, geez, you know, why is Linda get that president's award? I worked just as hard as she did. I was also on that project. How come I'm not getting recognized? So those are very tricky. The other thing is, the company-wide parties, the summer picnics, you know, that's the opposite problem. The winner's circle is too large. Everybody's invited to this thing. Look, there's Larry. He's a loser. If they let Larry come to this, I don't feel special. So in one case, the winner's circle is too small. The other, the winner's circle is too large. We will feel appreciated. The way our engagement button is going to get pressed for recognition is when our manager and or our peers give sincere, specific thanks. It can be verbal, it can be written, it can be a lot of things, but there's two big things to remember when it comes to giving thanks. First, we tend to value thanks based on the amount of time that was put into it. So if you walk by my desk and say, hey, thanks, Kevin, that's nice of you. I mean, that's good. But it's going to feel a little more important to me, feel a little more valuable if you send me an email saying, hey, Kevin, I wanted to thank you for what you did the other day. Meant a lot. Really appreciate it. And maybe you've CC'd your boss, so I know I'm getting a little extra visibility. You know, that feels better than that verbal drive-by thank you. Well, what would be more important or more valuable than an email? How about a handwritten thank you note? I say handwritten thank you notes are like magic on earth, because hey, if you got one, I know you've stuck it up on the board, you know, above your desk, or you've taped it to your monitor, you got a little folder. I know I keep all mine. Why do we value handwritten thank you notes so much? Because they're so rare. It takes so much time. Geez, I got to find a card and a pen and remember how to write. They're valuable. What could be more valuable than a handwritten thank you note? I don't know, maybe like take me out to dinner or take me out to lunch. Wow, I got an hour of the boss's time. So that's the first key. You know, ramp up or down your thank yous, realizing that you're going to be judged, the value is going to be judged based on the time you put into it. But the second thing is you can make a thank you go a long way. You can turn a regular thank you into a strategic thank you if it has three parts. So get ready. If you're not driving, grab that pen or get ready to memorize this. It's real simple. Part one of a strategic thank you is say thanks. Make sure there's no misunderstanding that you are saying thank you. Step two, or part two, specify the behavior that you're recognizing. And step three, or part three, link it back to a corporate value. So it doesn't matter, again, whether this is you're saying it out loud, you're sending an email, you're writing it. Use all three parts. It would be something like, let's say I'm in a team meeting, and this is a great habit to adopt, by the way. You're going to forget to say thank you to people unless you make it a habit. So like every Friday you write your thank you cards. Or what I used to do, every time I would do a public meeting, a staff meeting, a weekly team meeting, I would start it with recognition. It would just be how I started every meeting. So it would just be something like, hey everyone, before we get started today, I just want to give a big shout out to Carly. Carly, thanks for coming in last weekend and debugging that code. That was awesome. Really shows your dedication to customer satisfaction. So I said, Carly, thanks. That's the thank you for coming in over the weekend. That's the behavior. And it shows your dedication to customer satisfaction. Customer satisfaction might be, you know, one of our values or initiatives. So a strategic thank you has those three parts. And that's it. The great news is that you can immediately boost the engagement of team members. You can become a little bit better of a boss, that much closer to a great boss in their eyes, if you just practice strategic thanks. Doesn't cost any money. I mean, sure, it's nice if you throw in a Starbucks card or some movie tickets or get their car washed. I mean, that's nice. That'll boost it. But what's most important is you taking the time to write it out, say it out loud, you know, in a thoughtful fashion. That's it. That is the secret to employee recognition. So before we wrap it up, remember, go to leadx.org, that is, and that's where we have transcripts of all of the podcast interviews and other articles from some of the top thought leaders in the world. Next week, listen to every episode. We are going to show you how to turn boring meetings into great, engaging meetings, how you can get good results as a manager, real results, without losing your soul. A sports psychologist is going to explain why we have to stop focusing on winning. Say it ain't so. I like to win. And we've got one entrepreneur who talks about how he stopped burnout. So until Monday, friends, remember, leadership is influence, right? You know that. It's not about authority. It's not about your title. Leadership is influence. We are all leaders. Don't be a bystander at work. Don't be a bystander in your home. Lead intentionally. Lead with intent.